episode of Super is Natural in the Kingdom of God with Corey Pritchard, where our goal is to help you assimilate into God's kingdom so that super can become natural in your everyday life. And today we'll continue right along with where we've been at. And what I realize now is that we have been getting into faith, right? Going through faith. And it wasn't until recently that I started to really understand or gain an understanding about how important hope is, okay? Now, I'm not sure how much detail I will go into as far as teaching and hope, but this is something I would highly suggest that you go into and study for yourself. It's a powerful study. So one way I suggest that you go about it is that you can pull up a Strong's Concordance online and you can type in the word hope. And what I suggest you do is read every single verse and, you know, obviously in context or above and below the scriptures, but read all of them, read all of them and really be able to get a better understanding of what that means. A couple other resources that may be helpful. One is Andrew Womack. He has a audio series that you can pull up on his website called Power of Imagination. The other one is Power of Hope. I know he's got a few other ones that are kind of in that lane, but those are two that I know that he has that I would highly recommend that you listen to. Another person that you should listen to or consider is Chad Gonzalez. He has a number of books, sermons, a bunch of stuff on YouTube, but he does a really good job of focusing on hope and imagination. So with that being said, what I'm telling you is that you are far more brilliant and awesome and wonderful, right, as far as the way that you were created, far more than any of us truly ever really realize. So when it comes down to it, for myself, I had to stop and pause and think about this. I have been taking on a lying, wrong perception, right, and a way of viewing my physical body. And I would have to say you've probably been under the same temptation to the point where if you believe or listen to what doctors and scientists say, then you say that God is not a good God, right? God is a God who makes mistakes. God is a God who makes bad things, because the propaganda is, or the marketing, the idea is that because God made this no good thing, right, the physical body, that you have to have a man come in and fix what God made bad, right? So that we look at ourselves as a rescuer, right? Looking at ourselves that we're rescuing humanity or humanity's body from God, right? That's crazy stuff when we really stop and pause to think about the way that we're really approaching all of these things, right? And to think about me as far as my emotions and what I have, that God made emotions bad, so I have to think about them bad and view them as being bad, like they're my enemy, right? To look at my mind as like it's being my enemy, right? All those types of things. And to be honest, our doctrines are wrong and we are out of sorts. So times like now, coming into an environment and atmosphere where we can rethink things to really be able to get a more correct perspective, then again, I started with faith, right? We will continue with faith, but I want to make sure that I'm making time as we're dealing with faith to make sure that we give hope its proper stage. And I'll say some things, I'm going to encourage you to prove them, right? But I'm not going to go into a lot of, again, deep study, but I do want to make sure that I say it. One of those things is that hope actually operates on a higher authority than faith. And this is crazy, right? This is something I would not have been able to say more than 24 hours ago, okay? So anybody that's done anything as it concerns God or things of God or spiritual things, then what we do is that we put all of our focus and emphasis on faith. But the reality is that faith won't be able to manifest physically or allow the physical manifestation of anything that hope has not created a picture for. So if hope hasn't created some picture, a visual, vivid, clear picture on the inside of the individual, faith is not going to be able to draw it out, okay? And understand this, is that we, if you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, we have the faith of Jesus Christ. So because we placed our faith in Jesus Christ, now it allows us to now have the faith of Jesus Christ. So we have the faith of Jesus Christ, right? and the faith of Jesus Christ only access or withdraws, right? Only draws out what God has provided in and by grace, right? So to think about trying to get something that God didn't store by grace, it don't even make any sense. That shouldn't be any faith or hope that's produced for anything for the person who has come into the kingdom of God outside of what God has established by grace. So this is the beauty of getting into the Word of God and looking at what God has promised, looking at what God's will is, looking at what God likes and what he doesn't like, because what we do is now we can build a natural hope, right, and a desire for the things that God has, right? His desire was to give us his pleasure, right? His good pleasure was to give us his kingdom, right? This was his desire. This was his pleasure. It was his good pleasure to give us the kingdom of God, to give us his kingdom. So since that's his pleasure, I want to make it my pleasure. Now, he's not going to make it my pleasure. He's going to make it so if I want to, he will give me the will for it and the power for it. But ultimately, I have to make that a decision for myself. Okay, so hope, I look at it as an internal imaging system, right? It is a perfect internal imaging system that allows the picture and image of God's promise manifesting in your life to be clear on the inside of you. Hope that makes sense, okay? So to try to help, then a lot of people, they are familiar with what they think or what we think we know about imagination, but we should absolutely go in and study that also. So I suggest that you make time to study imagination. So listen to this, okay, biblically. So when you go back to see what happened as far as what we gave up, what we forfeited, all those types of things, and what should give us a great hunger and a desire for the gospel of the kingdom of God and the coming of Jesus Christ, when we see it for what it is, now we should have a natural hope and a desire that builds up on the inside of us, okay? So when we're looking at this imagination, then what we would say is this, okay? If I were to ask you the question, then what brought about the flood for humanity? What brought about the flood on the earth, okay? So why did God flood the earth? Now you can go in, you can look at this again, beginning in the first handful of chapters in Genesis, and you can see the story play out. The challenge is that if you are going to think about it without reading it, then you're going to come to a false conclusion, okay? So the reality is that the serpent did deceive Eve, right? So you can go look at that story in Genesis chapter 3. That's a reality. The serpent deceived Eve. Eve gave the fruit to Adam. Adam transgressed, right? So this is a reality. The curse came in because of this transgression, right? Sin and death came in because of this transgression. These things are true. Like, all these things are true. So from that moment, then you have their children that were born for them, Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. So the first murder happened with their children, right? So murder enters in at that moment. From then, you have all this sin that continues to increase, and God is so grieved at the amount of sin that's actually present on the earth, and it seems to be increasing. So what we would say is this. We would say that the reason why God flooded the earth is because Adam transgressed. Now, that could be an indirect connection, but the reality is that God says the reason why he did it is it was because of the evil imagination of the thoughts of the man's heart continually. Now, that's a mouthful, right? But the reality is, when you go back and you look at each word as it's compiled, God does not waste words or time. So if we see it the way God has presented it, then we'll have a better idea of what it is that man has, right? And what has plagued man. So again, the evil imagination of the thoughts of the man's heart continually. Like, so this is crazy. This is the reason why God decided to flood the earth, is because of this imagination that started to cause so much havoc, right? So another thing that we won't find is this. We won't find that God says that he flooded the earth because of the devil. Now, the interesting thing is you see that the serpent defiled or deceived Eve, but we really don't find any conversation about the devil anywhere in these books. Isn't that crazy, right? All the craziness that the men are doing, all the stuff that's going on, we don't see any reference to the devil. We don't see that the devil is being accused of any of these things. So it takes us from a religious perspective to put the devil in the narrative. The devil is not in the narrative. Now, is it possible that he's responsible indirectly? Yes, but directly, there is no identification of the adversary. Man is the reason why the earth was flooded. Does that make sense? Okay, it's because of the evil imagination of thoughts of the man's heart continually, right? That God has to flood the earth. Now, the flooding of the earth does not fix or correct man's imagination, right? It doesn't do that. So the same evil imagination, the same thing that man is dealing with pre-flood, he's also dealing with that same thing post-flood, right? So when I understand how this works, now, obviously, I could say from that imagination must be evil. But no. Listen, you got to be able to get it the way that God gave it. So it's not that imagination in itself is evil. Imagination in itself is actually neutral. Now, what we have to be completely honest about is this, is that all men before Jesus Christ, right, before or between the first Adam after his transgression and between Jesus Christ actually being born of a virgin, there is no truly righteous men. All men are sinners. Now, God gives credit to certain people as being righteous because he justifies them and says that this person could be deemed or seen as being righteous, but in themselves, they were not righteous. They were not righteous, right? So they're all sinners, yes. Moses, right? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right? All of these people, right, that we look up to, all the prophets, all of these were sinners. That's the reality of it, okay? So Jesus Christ brings righteousness, right? He is the righteous. So Jesus Christ is the only righteous among sinners or above sinners. So all the rest of the people on the planet are sinners and he is righteous. So Jesus Christ never had the privilege and opportunity to lay hands on any righteous person. He never had the privilege to. Everybody was unrighteous. So it wasn't until the disciples themselves actually became reborn that you find that there is a righteous person being able to lay hands on another righteous person. Does that make sense? Okay. So with that being said, now we understand how inside of these people is a dead spirit, is a dead spirit. They are spiritually dead. So they are sinners and they are unrighteous, right? So the reality is that unrighteousness, that sin reality of them as a spirit being, that doesn't allow their imagination to be righteous. It is evil, right? So what we see coming from that is evil, right? It says that this evil, it started from the birth of a child. So they didn't have to learn how to be evil and have these evil thoughts in their imagination. They began that way. Okay, this is how deep it is. No different than sin. Sin is not about your act or action. You don't have to wait until you sin before you become a sinner. The reality is that we are sinners because of what Adam did, right? Adam brought in sin and death. Him, as far as the seed that Adam is carrying himself and the seed that he's carrying now is a sinful seed. So everything that's birthed, everyone that's birthed from Adam and everything that's birthed from them now is carrying this sin and death seed. Okay, if that makes sense. So it's not until Jesus Christ comes that this is severed, because Jesus Christ is not born of a man. Jesus Christ is born of a woman, right? Conceived by the Holy Ghost. So that seed is now broken because Jesus Christ wasn't conceived by the seed of a physical carnal man with that unrighteous seed. Jesus Christ is born from the seed of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, which is perfect. So Jesus is born righteous, perfectly righteous, right? Not sinful like us, okay? So with that being said, now we should have no excuse. if we've confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord, right? If we've entered into the kingdom of God, now our imagination should be righteous continually. Hope that makes sense. So the evil imagination of the thoughts of a man's heart now should become the righteous imagination of the thoughts of the thoughts of the man's heart continually, right? So our imagination should now be righteous. So if you want to understand how that looks or what that looks like, now you can look at a capital, what I call all caps hope, right? Which is the perfect hope of God, which is the perfect imaging system of God. So now this righteous reality, us as a spirit being, now are the thoughts of our imagination, of our heart should be righteous, right? Continuously producing pictures of God's promises manifesting in our life, producing pictures of God's will in our life, allowing us to be able to see solutions, right? And things that God wants to have done, seeing heaven that is drawn down and produced out of us in this earth, right? That's the type of stuff that we should be able to see. So with that being said, I want you to understand how important it is to be able to have a image built up on the inside of you of what God has done as far as promise wise. So get this, okay? And I'll say this. This is something newer, but I'll go ahead and say it. The reality is if you read Matthew chapter 13, you'll find the parable of the sower, okay? So in the parable of the sower, Jesus is articulating this seed that's being sown, which is the seed concerning the kingdom of God, okay? It is the most powerful and the most dangerous seed ever in history, okay? The adversary knows it. For some reason, we just haven't accepted what God has said about it. But the reality is that this seed is what Jesus Christ came to sow, okay? So in the parable of the sower, Jesus talks to us. He tells us these secrets that have been stored up since from the foundation of the world. And in that, what we'll find is that Jesus Christ says that only those who have ears to hear will hear. Only those who have eyes to see will see. Only those who have a heart to perceive will perceive. So everybody's not going to have this seed germinate in their heart. Not everybody's going to understand the kingdom of God. Okay. Now, this is what he says. The disciples ask him very specifically, King, Rabbi, Messiah, right? Christ, why do you speak to them in parables? Is their question, right? So Jesus says it, and you can look at again, Matthew 13 is exactly where this is, but you can also look at Luke 8 and Mark 4, okay? You can look at these scriptures and you can see that Jesus Christ, specifically in Matthew's account, he says that he does it because if they would understand what he's saying, he says that they would be converted and then he would have to heal them. This is absolutely amazing, right? In the other account that you see it, he says that he would have to save them or sozo them. I believe it's sozo, but you can double check on sozo, but I know it says save them. So when we understand the reality that God wants us to be able to have the image of being healed in his kingdom, he wants us to have the image of walking in divine health in his kingdom, right? This is what is established by what Jesus Christ is saying. You can go back to Isaiah 53 and you can actually read the full account of what was going on in Jesus Christ and what he actually established and did. What you find is he came as a solution to the spiritual condition of a man. He also, which would be called sozo, right? Salvation, eternal life. He also was a solution to the problem of what man's soul was dealing with, right? It says that he was chastised, right? Because of him being chastised, now we receive shalom, which is peace, right? So this soul had been chastised so that we can have shalom. In the New Testament, it's eirene, right? So we can have this peace, which is also includes healing, right, and wholeness. And in our physical body, it says that by his stripes, we were healed. So his body was broken. If you want to look at 1 Peter 2 and 24, it says that in his own self that he bore our sins, right? He became dead to sin. So we are dead to sin and we are alive unto righteousness, right? So I am dead to sin and I am alive unto righteousness. Now I have righteousness in Jesus. And it says that by his stripes we were healed, right? Or I am healed, depending on if you're looking at Isaiah 53 or 1 Peter 2 and 24. These are the realities of the promises that God has established. So understand, in God's kingdom, your hope should be for being healed. Your hope should be for walking in health. This is what God wanted to establish. If you look back in the Old Testament, you look at the nation of Israel, right? This kingdom of Israel, it is a shadow of the kingdom of God. It is a shadow of God's kingdom. It's not it in perfection, but you can see a lot of similarity between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Israel as far as the will of God and what God wants. God does not want sin, right? God does not want rebellion in his kingdom. So that reveals what God does not like, but it also reveals what God wants and what God does desire. And one of those things that you'll find is that you'll find these people. Now, they're sinners. Don't get this wrong, right? They're sinners, but God has a system in place which allows them to temporarily be able to walk in this divine health. So his perfection is not healing. His perfection actually is divine health. So this God that we serve, he's able to keep these sinful people from getting sick. Millions of people at the same time walking through the desert, living in the promised land, all without being sick. They didn't have a doctor because they didn't need a doctor, right? There were no young being lost. Even in war, as long as they were in alignment with God and his will, there was no reports of any casualties. And I'm not making this stuff up. So imagine you go to war or sending your people out to war and knowing that 100% of them come back every single time, right? So this is the type of stuff that God is showing us, that he is a keeper, right? He is. And if they did have something happen to them, that he could heal them. So he is a healer also. These are the ways that God has revealed himself, right? So this is a powerful thing. Let me make sure I get these I got to get these names. Okay. There's a Jehovah that is a Jehovah healer. Okay. And you can look at the names of God, but God doesn't just want to reveal himself as Jehovah healer, which means that he rescued you from sickness. Okay. That you got sick and then he rescued you from it. God wants to reveal himself as the Jehovah righteousness, right? My righteousness. So you can look that name up for the name of God. Because this righteousness is far better, because it is a blessedness. It is a wholeness. It is a divine health, right? And completeness. So you don't need to worry about getting healed because you never got sick. Hope that makes sense. Okay. So I'm going to end this, the last 6 or 7 minutes. I'm going to give a couple more stories. So one I will give is recently for myself. Then this is not even within a few months ago. Well, I woke up and I don't even know how to even explain it, but I had all of these. It looks like blisters is what it looked like. So if you recall, if you've ever been burned or seen somebody burnt before, then after you have this burn, then you got these blisters that will show up in that place. And then under the blister is like this clear fluid that's inside of it. So I have these blisters that begin to form on my right arm, right? And I have them, you know, in different places. I have no idea what it is. I've never seen anything like that before. And as the days are going on, I'm getting more and more of these blisters. So now the blisters, they move from my arm, my right arm. Now I got them on my left arm. So I'm wearing a long sleeve shirt. This is in the summertime because I don't know what the heck to even think about. I've never seen anything like that, never experienced it, right? So I'm dealing with the reality of that, plus dealing with whatever other temptation I could be dealing with. And I don't know what to do, right? I have no idea what to do. So it's amazing to think that I could go from that, right? And I didn't have to do any procedures, didn't take any medicine, none of that type of stuff. But the reality is that God was able to bring about a complete restoration and healing in my arm. Now, in my arms, in my skin, right? You won't know it now that happened. I might be able to show you one or two spots where you can kind of see that something happened. But the reality is that has been relieved, completely gone, 100%. Okay. Another thing is that I had something, this is just about a week ago. I actually went on a trip got the privilege to be able to go to Huntsville, Alabama to an event and was excited. It was a very exciting time. And while I was there, I was in the shower. And in the shower, I put my finger in my ear, and inside my right ear, above the lobe, I feel like a bump or some type of growth, right? And I'm like, no, right? I'm like, this is not even something that should be here. I don't know how it started, but I don't care. Now, again, I'm dealing with whatever else I could be dealing with. So this is like something like I ain't got time to even deal with you. But I remember just thinking in my heart or my mind, and then I put my finger on it and spoke to it. Now, this is a trip, okay? Now, it's been there, and I just noticed it then, but I can recall back a few days before that this thing was there. I just, you know, didn't pay no attention to it. I'm telling you, it had to be within 48 hours. Within 48 hours, then I had a scab that developed in that same area. A scab developed, and then 24 hours after that, there was nothing. It's gone. So right now, as I'm speaking, it's gone, right? And it's amazing to see that God can work in such a way, right? And it's not God doing it as much as I'm allowing what God has already done to flow through my life. So I'm saying this, if you've never heard this before, okay? This is a newer perspective that I've taken on. The devil can't make you sick. He has no authority. He has no power. So if it is something that's going on, it's because your imagination has allowed it to happen. And it's because of your hope. It's because of your imagination. It's because of your faith that allows this stuff to happen. Okay. So another story. And the reason why I'm telling you this is because I want you to have a better understanding of what's going on. So years ago, I had a confession, and I went from saying I don't get sick. Okay. And I went on for 3, 4, 5 years or however long, like with this confession, I don't get sick. And then I said, I had to be more bold listening to a preacher. And I said, okay, it's not good enough for me to say, I don't get sick. I got to make a stance that I can't get sick. So then I started to say, I can't get sick. I can't get sick, to the point where I spent 3 years working in the office, helping build an insurance agency. And the reputation began to be built for me. I came into the office saying, I can't get sick. Then I went to, I don't get sick, to the point where now the people in the office, they're telling me my confession because they had all been sick. They had all taken days off. They were all hacking and sniffing and coughing and dealing with whatever it was. And after that 3-year time dealing with my coworkers, then they began to joke and say, well, you know, Corey don't get sick. They said, he can't get sick. He don't get sick. And these are people. One of them was a non-believer. I think he was probably a Buddhist. The other one was a Christian, but she didn't walk in that type of stuff. So I'm telling you that God is a wonderful God. And if we will allow it to work, it will work. Well, shortly after that, then we had COVID hit, and we had all these things go on the TV screen and on the news reports and all these things talking about COVID. And I was good for a while, right? And then it started to get to me because the conversation was so thick. And I started to see images of people dying and people getting sick. And it started to fool with me. And I know as a troop, because me and my wife probably went a whole year or more without having any episodes, even though everybody was getting COVID and all those types of things. And then it was a near Christmas time and something hit, right? Something took hold and I couldn't believe it. And no matter what my confession was, no matter how I was rebuking and binding and doing the things I normally do, it didn't change. And it wasn't until, you know, later on that I realized my faith had shifted and started to pay attention to what everybody was saying. So it was the images I had on the inside. I couldn't see myself get sick. I couldn't. I didn't have any images of me getting sick until I watched that news report. I was at a family member's house, and they showed all these celebrities that had been diagnosed and they were being sick and all these dead bodies they were carrying out from these different hospitals. And it took hold. I had an image in my mind that I didn't have before. So I'm telling you to say this to end, is that you want to make sure that you go to work on your hope. Go to work on the internal imaging system. Get into the Word of God. You don't need a lot of scriptures. Get you one, maybe two scriptures, and rotate that in your mind so that you can see yourself whole and see yourself healed. See whatever it is that's going on in your body, see it worked out, and then begin to speak to it. Tell it what you needed to do, right? You'll be amazed what you'll find. I will continue on and share more of these things, but understand, Super is natural in the kingdom of God. It's supposed to be normal. Okay, so I'll check with you on another time where super is natural in the kingdom of God.